Graham. How you been?
I've been very good. And how have you been? And happy birthday for Saturday.
Oh, thank you very much.
You can thank Facebook for that one.
Yes, thanks, Facebook. No, Facebook did not give me a birthday. You know, millennial of you. You think that I didn't have a birthday before Facebook. I'll tell you, Graham Shapiro, I did.
You had lots.
I had a lot. What are you saying? Not that many.
Well, I saw people wishing the age, so it became obvious that...
Yeah, so I turned 49. I'm not uncomfortable about that. Actually, maybe I am, but time is 4:42. Let's talk about millennials, because they're a lot younger than me.
Well, exactly. You know, we spoke to Michael Barnett from Deloitte 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the Deloitte Millennial Board, and their whole board was to sort of establish what millennials wanted in the workplace. So I thought this week it would be worth looking at what employees are actually looking for in jobs in general, mm-hmm. and how to incentivize the new generation to stay in a job. So just to go through these things, because they're not really known. You know, there's a new set of values, mm-hmm. but sort of different people are looking for different things from a job. But, you know, one of the things is, you know, so when we look, what do employees look for in a job? So not surprisingly, one of the main things they're still looking for is a salary.
Right.
Salary is still looked at as a motivating right. factor, but it's no longer the only factor.
But is that because millennials are spoiled?
It could be. You know what? It could be.
Because I can tell you that, I mean, I know we always go back to it, but when our grandparents arrived as refugees from Europe and they came to South Africa, they weren't looking to find out. They weren't looking for a place that would actualize them. They were just looking for a place that would help them feed their families.
Well, for sure. And I suppose, you know, growing up, you know, with all the comforts that a lot of, well, I wouldn't say a lot of South Africans, but for sure a privileged class of South Africans that we have grown up with, that, you know, you become used to certain comforts, and then you need, when you leave home, you actually need to maintain your lifestyle. You can't
right.
really, you can't take a major drop in lifestyle. Where they possibly are dropping is they may be not spending as much as that, as their parents' generation on things like cars
right.
and other sorts of assets. But, you know, they still need a certain amount of money to maintain a lifestyle. So money is still a motivating factor. It's not the prime factor. You know, if you think about it, if you're going to take a really high paying job, but it's going to force you to work for 15 hours a day, you're never going to enjoy the things that your money can buy. So, from that aspect, they're still looking for, and the other side of that is they're looking for, you know, money is a motivator, but it's also work-life balance. You know, I had, so...
I'm such a skeptic about this, I have to tell you.
What, working for money and having work-life balance?
Yeah, because my feeling is this, is I think in the beginning, when you're young and idealistic, that's great. So you go into this workplace and you don't have real, you know, possibly you're still living at home, or your expenses are your apartment and your car and a couple of dates. But that's really your, you know, it's kind of a spoilt approach. And then you get married and you have kids and you're both working and you're starting to increase the costs of your lifestyle. And I wonder at that point if people are still saying, you know, I'm not going to work Tuesday afternoon because there happens to be, you know, every Tuesday afternoon I want to go and watch my kids do gymnastics because that's important. Obviously there are people who do that and I respect that greatly. I just think that most of us land up getting very caught up in what we're doing. And not only that, is the more we get into it, the more we actually love that. And that becomes something that we give so much to. And this concept of this work-life balance becomes harder and harder to attain.
I think it's a very good point. And I've thought about that before, and I think it could maybe come as that the millennial generation is still fairly young.
So that's my view.
And they haven't.
I'd love someone to plot it and to track it and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very interesting. And also the thing is, it's very possible that millennials are possibly getting married older, or, you know, not having, you know, like you're saying, as you get older and you have kids, uh-huh. work-life balance becomes an actual word. Whereas opposed to, as you said now, where when people are entering the working world, they don't actually have that many responsibilities outside of work.
So you can finish work at 8 o'clock and then still go out and have a great time, and you think you've got work-life balance, but come home after 8 every night when you've got children and somebody's home putting where, you know, and I'm trying to be as non-sexist as possible, but somebody's home putting those kids to sleep and you walk through the door at 8:15, well, that's not work-life balance. But if you don't have children or if you're not married, well, then go from the office at 8:15, go out and you've got a perfect work life balance.
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's a very strong point. Actually, a company who disagreed with you was Amazon.
Really? Hey, never heard of them.
No one has. Don't worry.
Well, actually, don't get me started, because I don't think we can even order books in this country from Amazon. It makes me mad. Anyway, carry on.
What do you mean? Actual books that you read that you hold on to and turn the pages?
Yes, remember those. I still like those.
So they piloted a 30-day work week. I don't know how it worked out, but I know they definitely challenged that status quo of the 8-hour working day. But you know, once again, I think it comes back to the point where how much work do you have to do in the day, and is that actually enough? But it shows progressive thinking, and that they sort of trying to challenge it.
But we don't know if it's successful or not.
So not yet, exactly. Another thing is that they want, and this is something that Michael touched on. I don't think he touched on this point, but that they want to be able to advance their careers. They don't want to just stay and plateau. They want to know that they're going to be moving forward. And it was actually interesting. I spoke to somebody, I was speaking to a guy today who, had worked for Standard Bank for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd actually approached the CEO, you know, not approached the CEO, but was chatting to the CEO and mentioned to him that he had 10 years of experience within his area and was ready to move out of it. And the CEO turned back to me and says, you don't. You have 1 year experience 10 times over. So,
wow.
You know,
wow. That's interesting.
Which was quite an interesting perspective. So the thing is they, you know, they constantly want to be advancing and learning more and taking on new roles and responsibilities.
What I do find interesting in terms of the whole millennial thing is that they don't see hierarchy in the same way. And I think innovative companies, including the banks, and I've seen this at a fair amount of those, are recognizing that. And because life has done away with that hierarchy, because of Twitter, because of Facebook, we can access people immediately. No matter who we are, we can access people. So, that needs to translate into the workplace for millennials. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If they've got to go to a manager, to go to a supervisor, to go to a, et cetera, all the way to the top in order to get a point across, it's never going to, it doesn't function anymore.
Well, for sure. And I think things are starting to operate in teams. I think as opposed to, you know, you have a low level, employee who will, not a low level employee, but you know, you sort of have a senior. And then you never actually talk to your manager. But I think the way that it's moving now is you have your team, you all meet and you all work together. But in saying that, I think, and it might still be because it's an immature workforce, is it might not be realistic to be constantly moving up and advancing within your job. You know,
sure.
So it might be in the form of taking on more responsibility, or as you say, you no longer reporting to people always above you. It might be that you report directly to the superior.
But it changes corporate structures.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's a complicated thing that's going to have to be addressed. And you know, it's obviously for each corporate to take that into their own hands how they handle it.
Right.
But there's other things that we'll talk about in a moment about what, you know, how to. Away from these sort of core points, uh-huh. There's other ways to incentivize people that will make them want to stay within an organization.
So we're going to talk about that. The one question I do want to ask you, a friend of mine gave me a book on the weekend, actually for my birthday, called Grit by Angela Duckworth. And I don't know if you've seen that at all. And basically what she shows through the course of her research, and she's a psychologist, very, very well, very well recognized, is that raw talent and incredible gifts are one thing, but without grit and without the ability to stand up after you've fallen down and stand up again and wake up every day and show up every day, you're not going to be successful. So when I think about millennials, I wonder if because of the lifestyle that they've grown up with, if they have, and of course it's a massive generalization, but do they have as a group enough grit? And that's a bother, that's a concern for me, because they do get bored and they do need to constant affirmation. They do need to be fed in a very, very different way in order to keep them. Otherwise they're skittish and they move to the next organization.
So I think, I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, and just looking away from work, from the working world, to make it as a sportsman, that's the only way to make it as a sportsman is, you know, there's lots of talented people out
Absolutely.
There who never actually make it. You know, so, and obviously it's timing. You
it's
know,
true. Read Andre Agassi's book. It's exactly that. It's about that grit.
Yeah. And the thing is I don't think anywhere, you know, they're not going to, there's no one there to hold your hand. If you're not good enough, they'll tell you and you'll be out the door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've always got to prove yourself. And I think it's also a good point for the working world, you know, have, and that might speak to the education system. That might speak to how to educate millennials in schools is, you know, that they might have to teach them how to handle how to handle these sort of situations in the
without
world.
Giving them safe space. Time is 4:53. I'm talking to Graham Shapiro. We're talking about millennials in the workplace. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We're going to take some music. Amir Dadon, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to keep millennials in your company. If you're a business that that does employ millennials or would like to, how on earth do you keep them focused? Anthony saying, Howard, if the DA were smart, they would take a bucket off KFC to each of the ANC MPs who vote against the president. Anthony. To 7, I'm Howard Feldman. I'm chatting to Graham Shapiro. We're talking about millennials. Graham, how does a company keep millennials in their organization?
So there's, you know, there's three examples. I mean, we'll talk about a bit more. We'll see how much time we have. But there's, you know, three companies are doing in America are doing some interesting things. Not quite incentive, but it's enough to make people interested in staying. So Google have something very interesting that if an employee passes away, mm-hmm. no matter how long.
No, but then you can't keep them, Graham. It's rude. I mean, seriously. Jeez. Google.
Yeah, I know it's a bit sick, but.
First they start with driveless cars and now they want to keep their dead employees.
They need somebody to drive.
Right. All right. Yeah. So somebody dies at Google.
Then
on page 2, yeah.
They could be there for one day and Google will pay their significant other or their spouse 50% of their salary for the next 10 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, very nice.
There's another company called Ultimate Software.
So do they get a lot of very ill people applying?
Well, I imagine they also have a very strict
medical policy.
Medical policy with that.
I was just thinking, yeah.
That's why they're all riding bicycles to make
exactly.
sure they keep themselves fit. Another company called Ultimate Software gives employees a free holiday every 2 years. A free paid holiday, pay for their holiday.
Very nice.
Another company, Intel, very well known. They offer $50,000 in tuition, and sure. they give.
Well, that's one kid at a Jewish day school.
Yeah, for two or three months, a term.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Mm. Right, without the extra Afrikaans lessons. Yeah.
And they allowed to take an 8-week sabbatical every 7 years.
Gosh. Incredible.
So, you know, those are some of the things. But now, you know, talking more about small things that come very appreciated. People like to have flexible hours and a work from home option. So, you know, one day you wake up, you don't feel like going in, you just work from home. And I have to actually confess, I've done that before, but I took it off as a sick day, but I sort of mastered it. I sort of said it was a mental health day. A mental health day. I couldn't go into work that day. I couldn't face work.
Right.
And I didn't see how that couldn't be a sickness.
Graham, I'm not your mentor, but I would not encourage you to call in to the office and say, I'm sorry, I'm taking a mental health day.
Well, if I called into my office these days, right, I would need a mental health day.
All right, I get that. Because Graham is running his own organization, so it would be a bit weird.
And then, you know, other things like giving away, you know, giving away concert tickets.
Right.
You know, so a lot of the time, a lot of these, with small incentives, you know, you were talking about earlier that millennials need affirmation. So one of the big things is, if you're going to get a big bonus at the end of the year, you get recognized once a year. If you get a lot of smaller things throughout the year, you know, it's constantly, it's every small thing you did gets noticed. And, you know, take an interest in employees. If you know an employee likes golf, give him a day off, pay for his golf game.
Incredible.
You know, so, yeah. So little things like that.
Because that recognizes that person for who they are.
Yeah.
And that's a very, very interesting time. It's 5 o'clock. Unfortunately, there we do have to leave it. That was Graham Shapiro, Kickstart 101. Graham joins us every Monday. We talk about different business concepts. Fascinating conversation as always. Graham Shapiro.